This is iFaith 98, Jeremiah, Jesus, and the Den of Thieves. In this section of the iFaith Bible sermons, we're looking at Jeremiah and Lamentations. We began last time with Jeremiah calls out the liars. That is, the things frequently repeated by the religious establishment that were not only false, but they were destructive. We looked at the lie, peace, peace, temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord, and I had a dream, I had a dream. Prophets were saying there will be peace. There will be no consequences to our infidelity to the covenant. They were also allowing that second lie. This is the temple of the Lord. That is, if we simply go to church, God will protect us and we're safe. And then, in what was kind of like a charismatic movement within Israel, you had these false prophets seeing visions and dreams and then relaying a message not from God to the people. Well, these are all very destructive, but it wasn't only the leadership who were perpetrating these lies. It was the people who enjoyed them and approved of them. Today, we'll be looking at Jeremiah's temple sermon. There are actually a couple of messages like this, one where he preaches to the palace, to the royal family, two more times where he speaks actually to the temple. And here he's told by the Lord to station himself at the entrance, at the exit, so that where people are going up, there'll be a crowd and they'll get this message from him. It's really quite something. This is also found in Jeremiah 26, but today we'll look at the fuller version, which is in chapter 7. Let's dig right in. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house, and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the Lord of Israel, says, the God of Israel. Reform your ways and your actions, and I'll let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Yes, we did touch on this briefly in the previous message. But today I want us to focus on this particular lie. Notice the location. It's at the entrance. And notice the likely audience. And how could people not talk with each other about this message as they went up into the temple to pray or as they were coming out? It continues. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, and the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. But look, you're trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Although we won't continue reading it from chapter 7, let me tell you some of the specifics that Jeremiah then zeroes in on. Sins of theft and murder, adultery, worshiping the fertility and weather god, Baal or Baal, worshiping the queen of heaven, sacrificing their firstborn children in the fire to kind of prime the pump so that their animals will bear well and their crops will come up abundantly, worshiping astral deities, that is, gods connected with the planets and the stars, and more. These are the kinds of things that are not just going on within the land of Israel. These are being done by the people of Jerusalem and Judah. Remember, by the time this message is given, the northern kingdom has already fallen. The northern kingdom of Samaria is gone. The Assyrians destroyed it. And Jeremiah is telling them, what makes you think you're going to fare any better? This is now the southern kingdom of Judah that remains. Well, let's now go to probably the most famous part of Jeremiah 7, and that's verse 11. And this is what God says to the religious leaders. Has this house, which bears my name, become a den of thieves to you? This house, of course, refers to the temple. And it should be holy because it bears the name of Yahweh. But it's become a den of robbers. Who are the robbers? It's the people who are making out pretty well, commercially, financially, from the big business of religion, and that is the establishment itself. Today as then, religion is big business. Well, we see in Jeremiah 26 the reaction of the people. I'm only going to read a few verses, but you'll find this in Jeremiah 26. We see that the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized Jeremiah and said, "You must die." And then later, the priests and the prophets, that is the ones prophesying falsely, in the previous lesson we saw that, they said to the officials and all the people, "This man should be sentenced to death because he prophesied against this city." Wow. Wow. Because what Jeremiah is doing could be considered unpatriotic. It's treason. He's telling them not to trust in the words of the leaders. In fact, he's going to be telling them soon, it's over. Submit to the Babylonians. He'll be in big trouble. But actually, there's a small trial that takes place. This is in chapter 26. And the opinion swings from demanding his death to being willing to listen to what he's saying and not put him to death. Because previous prophets were not necessarily killed, and when they preached such strong messages. So it actually turns out pretty well for him. Well, okay. The title of today's message is Jeremiah, Jesus, and the Den of Thieves. So we're not just going to focus on Jeremiah, though I promise we'll come back in iFaith 99 and 100. We'll have more, don't worry. You're going to learn a lot about this man. But let's read a familiar passage from Matthew. Now, you'll see Jesus' interaction with the establishment priests, with the establishment, those who are making their fortune from religion. You'll see that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's, you can't miss it. But let's read two verses from Matthew 26. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves." That's Matthew 21, 12 to 13. Now, when Jesus says it's written, he's quoting the words of Jeremiah as scripture. Of course, the entire Old Testament was complete long before the time of Jesus. And the words of Jeremiah, rejected in his day, are now scripture, enshrined in what would become the longest book in the Old Testament. Jeremiah positioned himself at the temple where the people were going in to offer, for the most part, worthless sacrifices. Jesus positions himself in the temple courts. Now, the temple complex is enormous, absolutely enormous. If he's kicking over the tables at one end, it's unlikely at the opposite end people would even know what was happening. It'd be hard to hear what was going on. So Jesus is sending a message to the corrupt high priest and his corrupt father-in-law. Those two were controlling things for a while. And he's saying that you're thieves. Instead of feeding the flock, you're fleecing the flock. Instead of feeding my lambs, my sheep, you're just taking the wool. You're fleecing them. You're just benefiting from them. And we read more about this theme of the bad shepherd in many passages in the prophets, like in Ezekiel or Zechariah. By quoting the words of Jeremiah, Jesus is implicitly showing that there is a parallel, there's a connection. That is, the people are going up to this beautiful temple, and in the first century it seems to have been a gorgeous structure. But it's pointless, and it will be destroyed, just as in the days of Jeremiah. God will not protect his people to carry on mocking his holy name. There are many examples of this, just reading in Matthew, but I'll read one passage. Matthew 24, this is just very soon after the previous verse about the den of thieves. Jesus left the temple. So Jesus had been teaching in that area. He's walking away when his disciples came up to him to call attention to its buildings. You know, one of the rabbis said, "He who has not seen the temple has never seen a beautiful building in the world." This is the most beautiful of all. And we believe it was. after the Babylonians destroyed the first temple, it was rebuilt in the late 6th century, but it was a bit of a disappointment, at least according to Haggai, as he relates the situation. But Herod the Great I wouldn't say he rebuilt it, but he expanded it, he improved it. This is in the 1st century B.C. and 1st century A.D., and so it was an incredible building. You've got to see a picture of this if you've never seen one. You'll be amazed. Well, Jesus responds, "Do you see all these things? Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." So here's Jesus prophesying destruction to the temple. Destruction of the temple. This is basically the same message that Jeremiah gave. And yet people don't learn from the history. What happens when God's people ignore the covenant, when they ignore the relationship they're to have with their Father? It's time to talk about some application. My house will be called a house of prayer. That's words from Isaiah. But you're making it a den of robbers, a den of thieves. Is it possible that in my own heart, you know, think, we're called to be the temple of God on two levels. The church is God's temple now, 1 Corinthians 3. And yet, because God lives in each of us who are Christians, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6. So is there a den, a secret place, a dark cave, a corner, a nook, a place in my own heart that's a place of disobedience or independence from God? I have to ask that question of myself first. Not to say, oh, look how bad it was back then, because they were out of touch with reality. They were out of step with their Lord, and they didn't seem to know that. And that means we can be deceived also. Am I putting my trust in an institution? That's what was happening in Jesus' day. In 30 AD, that was what was happening in Jeremiah's day. You know, in Jeremiah's day, there had been a big reform under King Josiah, but it didn't really work. Too little, too late. And so Jeremiah has strong words. Do I imagine, perhaps, that religious rituals render righteousness irrelevant? You know, if I just go to church on Sunday or I say my prayers, I can live the way I want to. Well, that's how most denominations live, whether they teach that or simply model it. So do I imagine that religious rituals render righteousness irrelevant? We need to be righteous. Do I appreciate how Jesus fulfills these scriptures? There are connections between Jeremiah and Jesus. There's so many, as with all the prophets. And if you see those, the New Testament is even more powerful. Our eyes are opened, amazingly. If we don't, we'll be bored with both testaments and we'll never really learn God's word. As I look at Jeremiah, as I look at Jesus, am I moved by their determination and their courage and their love? As God's people, are we learning from history? Jeremiah, in his message, challenges Israel to learn from what happened to the northern kingdom of Samaria and the shrine of Shiloh that had been destroyed. So look, it's happened there. It could happen here. Do we really imagine that we're just fine? Are we? We're not. In fact, there's good evidence that what's going on in the Christian church today on planet Earth is sadly not so different to what was going on in Jesus' day with established religion. If Jesus came today, would he be kicking over tables? Would he pull out the whip? Would he drive out the money changers? Would he knock the coins to the floor? Would the animals be running through the courts? Would he call us back to pure righteousness, pure worship, so that God's people, God's church would be a house of prayer for all nations? I think he might well do just that. Of course, Jeremiah didn't die for his courage. He was exonerated. He even lived after Jerusalem fell and continued to share God's word as the people went to Egypt. He spoke for more than 40 years. Not so with Jesus. Jesus did die for his courage. Jeremiah did not die for our sins, but Jesus Christ did. And that's why I've entitled this message, Jeremiah, Jesus, and the Den of Thieves. God bless you. Love from Atlanta. I hope you watch this presentation and have a good discussion. These are important things, a message for all times.